from North State Public Radio, I'm Andre Bayek with your headlines for Thursday, January 19th. We again start today with wildfire recovery. 10 public entities in the North State announced a $24 million settlement agreement with Pacific Gas and Electric Tuesday for damages incurred in the 2021 Dixie Fire. The suit was brought by Shasta, Plumas, Lassen, Butte, and Tehama counties, as well as five other public entities to seek reimbursement for the cost of rebuilding damaged infrastructure and to offset lost revenue and expenditures associated with fire recovery. Attorney John Fisk with the law firm Barron & Budd represented the public entities in the case.
We feel that this amount is fair and reasonable for this fire, especially since we can get the money into the community as soon as possible.
He says $24 million may not cover all losses, but settling now is preferable to protracted litigation, which would delay recovery.
It is usually not the case that you're getting full compensation, which is unfortunate because that's the design behind the American legal system. PG&E has its own arguments and defenses, and they have the right to assert those, and they did in the process of the litigation and the mediation. And so by the time the two parties come together and compromise, there's a compromised amount.
The Dixie Fire started in the Feather River Canyon near the border of Butte and Plumas counties on July 13, 2021, when a tree fell into a PG&E line. The fire covered nearly a million acres before it was finally contained in October of that year, making it the largest single wildland fire in state history. And now let's move to a story we've been following this week. The Paradise Town Council voted Tuesday to send a member to Washington, D.C. to advocate for a tax relief bill. NSPR's Jamie Jiang has more.
Survivors of the Camp Fire who won settlement money from PG&E have had to pay federal taxes on that money for years. Congressmen Doug LaMalfa and Mike Thompson want to waive federal taxes from all payees of PG&E's Fire Victim Trust, which dispenses those settlement payments in installments. Now, the Town of Paradise will sponsor one council member's trip to Washington, D.C. to advocate for that bill. The Paradise Town Council voted to pay for council member Steve Crowder's D.C. trip. But before coming to an agreement, the discussion turned heated.
If you support it, go fight for it. But I'm not going to vote to spend public dollars for this endeavor.
I disagree with everything that Woody said.
That was council members Steve Cullerton and Steve Crowder. Nearly all Fire Victim Trust payees must also pay attorney's fees that amount to about a third of the total settlement. Any survivors who don't live in California pay state taxes on the money as well, and all have had to pay federal taxes.
So they're going to lose almost half the money that they were awarded.
That's Paradise Town Council member Ron Lassonde.
We need to help them. We hear constantly that, well, I'm going to rebuild when I get that PG&E money. And a chunk of it's going to the government.
The town also voted to send a letter of support for the bill to Washington, D.C. Now, $1,500 of the council budget will cover council member Steve Crowder's airfare and stay in D.C. as he speaks in support of the bill with the advocacy group after the fire. For NSPR News, I'm Jamie Jiang.
Moving to recovery from recent winter storms. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, has added three more California counties, Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara, to the major disaster declaration President Joe Biden approved over the weekend. The major disaster declaration due to the storms was initially approved for Sacramento, Santa Cruz, and Merced counties. FEMA's Renee Bafalis says they're establishing assistance centers in those counties and also going door-to-door to register people. But she says those who've suffered damage should contact their insurance company first.
We cannot duplicate what your insurance companies may cover. However, if you are underinsured or uninsured, we will probably be able to assist you in some way.
The major disaster declaration also allows the Small Business Administration to get involved. The SBA's Burl Kelton says businesses of all sizes and private nonprofit groups are eligible for loans.
So we're looking at a larger amount of money available for folks that are eligible and service over a longer period of time. We also work with businesses very closely in their recovery. Basically, it's kind of like FEMA passes the baton once folks are in the safe, secure, sanitary place to begin their recovery.
President Joe Biden is scheduled to be in California today to get a firsthand look at the storm damage and more counties are expected to be added to the major disaster declaration list. And finally, state law says 35% of 2026 model year new cars sold in California must be zero emission, with 100% by 2035. If that happens, there will be 12.5 million electric vehicles on the road in California. That's 15 times more than exists now. To power all these vehicles, the state would have to triple the amount of electricity it's currently producing and deploy new solar and wind energy at a pace it's never achieved before. While state officials insist that California can ramp up its power sources to support these 12.5 million EVs without overwhelming the power grid, CalMatters' Nadia Lopez dug into the fine print, and she spoke with CAP Radio anchor Mike Haggerty.
Nadia, several government agencies, including the California Energy Commission, are saying that the grid is going to be able to support these millions of EVs. But you talked to experts who were skeptical. What are their concerns?
Well, a big factor is that these agencies are relying on a set of assumptions that are highly uncertain that really depend on best case scenarios.
Assumptions like what?
Well, like that the state will be able to rapidly expand the number of public charging stations. We need well over a million more than we currently have to support those goals. Also, we need to build solar and wind farms at a pace that we've never been able to achieve before. And drivers will need to charge their cars during off-peak hours, which means either before 4 p.m. or after 9 p.m. But for many people, it's really not feasible or practical because it's easiest to charge at night after work. And some people who don't live in single family homes and may live in apartments may not have access to that kind of charging.
Back to sourcing for a second. What about offshore wind farms? I remember last year there was that historic auction of offshore plots off the California coast.
That's right. There's a lot of promise there. So state officials say offshore wind farms could provide enough to power about 1.5 million homes by 2030. That's coming up real soon. And as many as 25 million homes by 2045. But right now, there are no projects underway. And the permits that will be involved in establishing these farms, plus construction, siting, all these other things, could take anywhere from 7 to 8 years, maybe more.
So what happens if the state can't stay on track with the assumptions of the power agencies and the grid is, in fact, overwhelmed?
There's always a fear of power outages or brownouts if people do charge their cars during times when there's high demand, for example, or if significant upgrades to transmission lines aren't made, especially with climate change like heat, wildfires, flooding, damaging this outdated infrastructure. And on top of this, while the state is working towards these really ambitious electrification goals, there's another law requiring that we shift all of our power by 2045 to clean energy produced by sources like solar and wind. At the same time, we're phasing the closure of our natural gas plants and the last nuclear power plant, Diablo Canyon, which is slated to close in 2030. So if we can't source enough of our energy from renewable resources, there's the risk that the state may have to consider extending operations at those kinds of facilities. And lastly, you know, many of these issues aren't partisan. They're issues that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are really skeptical about. And ultimately, these are questions and concerns that everyone is considering as we make this really big transition to an electric future.
That's CalMatters reporter Nadia Lopez speaking with CAP Radio's Mike Haggerty. And those are your headlines for Thursday, January 19th. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For NSPR News, I'm Andre Bayek.